No, you're only as strong as your weakest muscle, right? So like I always prioritize on my smaller muscle. I was having an issue with yoke and I started doing single leg, like just body weight single leg step ups. When I actually improved my yoke, I was able to add 200 pounds comfortable on my yoke just because my hip flexors are my weakness. It's really important to focus on those little muscles because those little 1% will add a lot as you go, right?
Welcome to the Barbend Podcast, where we talk to the smartest athletes, coaches, and minds from around the world of strength. I'm your host, David Thomas Tao, and this podcast is presented by barbend.com. Today, I'm talking to Canadian strongman Maxime Boudreau, who finished third place at the 2021 World Strongest Man and fifth at the 2022 World Strongest Man. Maxime is sitting out this year's World Strongest Man due to injury. By the way, the competition kicks off this week. Follow along on barbend.com. And this recovery time has given him new perspective on the sport, and he's looking to come back stronger than ever. We talk about breaking through strongman's professional ranks, competing against historically amazing athletes, and the toll of staying on top in one of strength's most demanding disciplines. We also discussed how Maxime has used the Airwave mouthpiece, which generously sponsored this podcast, I should add, to improve his performance and recovery on both training days and those long competition days. Airwave is now the official mouthpiece of World's Strongest Man, and Barbend podcast listeners can use the code BARBEND to receive 15% off. Now let's get on with the show. Max, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today. It's an important time of year for you because you're gearing up for a lot of big things. The first question I got to ask is, how is training going right now? How does the body feel? And maybe more importantly, how's your mind feel right now about everything?
Well, I just got a really bad luck 8 days before the Arnolds this year. I slipped on ice and actually broke the fibula right at the ankle. So I've been stuck with dealing with that for the past 5 weeks. I'm actually able to walk with my crutches right now. I'm going to get my final checkup on the 19th. So in, two, 3 more weeks. So I should be able to start walking. I've been doing a lot of upper body right now just to keep my head space really going well. You know, it's disappointing that I'm losing Arnold and Worlds this year. But it's not that bad, right? Because like my outside of strongman life is going really well, like with Samantha as well. Like she's a really good support for me to keep my head straight. We're actually in the process of, we just moved across Canada to open our gym in Moncton during January. So we're still in the hunt for a location. We're just having a bit of issues of firewalls and stuff like that right now. But we should be able to process to open for May 1st. That's the plan. So like we're really busy with computer work and all that stuff instead of actually focusing on training right now, which is nice. At least it's giving me like a better mindset of like just not being injured and not doing anything, right?
Yeah, for sure. Is this the most significant injury you've dealt with in your pro strongman career?
I've torn my pec completely off the attachment back in 2016. But besides that, yeah, that's the worst. Well, it's the best of the worst, right? No tendons or ligament that's broken, just the bone that's fractured. So I just need to let it heal and that's it.
How long is the total process going to be, the total recovery process, till you're back to kind of full intensity training, do you think?
I'm not sure. I'll just take my time. Like my next show is in July. So I'm really grateful. Like it sucks that the Arnolds and Worlds were close together, but I'm really grateful because like they were together. So now I have a really like a building season up till July for my next show. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm missing the two biggest shows, but I'm not missing a lot of shows this year, right? And I really want to focus on coming back healthy and strong because I don't want to rush it.
Yeah.
We only have one body, right? So if I really like injure it more, like I might be out for a lot longer than just this.
What does your training look like right now? I mean, obviously training pretty much only upper body. What are those sessions looking like? And you know, how does a pro strongman train around having a lower body injury while still, you know, maintaining mass and as much strength as you can?
Right now I'm at a commercial gym. So actually I'm able to do I'll just do single leg work on Mondays, single leg press. And I'm just lucky to have those little hip flexors. I'm actually able to train my injured leg, just like do kickbacks and stuff like that with that. So I don't need my leg and everything else. I do single leg extension, like curls and all that stuff. And then I'll do my push pull day on Tuesday, off Wednesday. And then Thursday, I'm just really grateful we have a back attack, so I'm actually able to do my lower back. So we'll do that and then back workout after that. And then we'll have another push and pull day on Saturdays.
I've talked to several athletes, and I have a little experience with this myself, having lower body injury, having to really focus on accessory work, upper body, and then, you know, still being able to train the hip flexors and do some mobility. Sometimes people come back, and when they can start training full speed again, they can squat again. They actually feel a little bit better because they've been focusing on all of the kind of problem areas that maybe they don't get as much attention when you're training like full intensity. So my hope is that you come back and that first squat session back, you're like, oh, I actually feel great. My hips feel awesome. So fingers crossed on that one.
No, exactly. And what's nice right now is I can sit down for 2 hours and not have knee pains right now. So it's really weird and it's interesting and I'm enjoying it right now. But no, you're only as strong as your weakest muscle, right? So like I always prioritize on my smaller muscle, especially last year. I was having an issue with yoke and I started doing single leg, like just body weight, single leg step ups from a 6 or 12 inch height and just controlling the way down, controlling the way up. And I actually improved my yoke. I was able to add 200 pounds comfortable on my yoke just because my hip flexors are my weakness. So just by doing that, just the small little things, right? Because a lot of time people just try to jump into it and just try to like do a squat, the bench and all those big lifts without even focusing on the smaller muscles, right? So as soon as your foundation is grown, you get a lot stronger as well. And at the level we're at, it's really important to focus on those little muscles because those little 1% will add a lot as you go, right?
We'll get back to the episode in just a second. But first, a quick shout out to our episode sponsor, Airwave. Airwave is now the official mouthpiece of World's Strongest Man. Visit airwave.com, that's AIRWAAV.com, to find out how their innovative mouthpiece can improve recovery and performance. And use the code BARBEND, BARBEND, to get 15% off your next order. Let's get back to the show. So let's dial it back a little bit and talk a little bit about your career and strength. Did you have a significant athletic background before Strongman? When did you start really training? And then, you know, how did you actually find Strongman as a sport where you're like, hey, I want to focus in on this. I can really excel and be one of the best.
I was a really small kid. I weighed 170 at 6'3 in high school. Actually, Hugo Gerald came to our high school and he was just showing what he was able to do. And then he just overhead pressed one of our teachers. I'm like, wow, this is kind of weird. Like, you know, I was really thrown off about him. I'm here now, which is funny, but play hockey throughout my childhood. Grade 12, I started training at the gym because the gym actually closed, and my friend across the street actually brought his equipment in his garage. So that's how I started to train because I was too embarrassed to go to the gym, and I got hooked ever since. So like, he was going to college, and my goal was trying to be as strong as him when he came back for like holiday break, like Christmas break and summertime. So I was always trained to get better. I went to college for health and fitness promotion. And there I was just training, trying to become bodybuilder. So I did a few shows of bodybuilding. And then I actually was really grateful to meet one of my friends that I was actually doing strongman. So, hey, you look strong. You should come try strongman training every Saturday. So I just got hooked. Every Saturday we're doing farmer's walks, sled drags, tire flip, and log press. And every week I was getting better. I'm really competitive. So I just, seeing the fact I was getting stronger every week, I got hooked. And I've been training strongman since 2012, basically.
So you talked about your stats in high school. You were 6'3", 170 pounds.
Yeah.
What are you now?
300 pounds because of the wheelchair issue and just enjoying what I eat. But usually I'm around 330, 340.
Got it. So same height though, 6'3".
Yeah.
Okay. So that is, you've basically doubled yourself since high school. you've basically like eaten yourself and doubled your mass effectively.
Yeah, it was a lot of hard work for sure. Like if I miss a meal or two a day, I'll lose 5 pounds easily. So my body my body tries to go back to that weight. So every year, like I'm trying to push 10 pounds, and like now my comfortable weight, like if I miss a meal or two, I'm able to sit around like 315, 320. When I get to 330, like it's getting harder to go up and down the stairs. Like just every year, like 10 extra pounds, I feel more and more comfortable with it. So I'm just taking my time. I'm not rushing anything. Cause if you rush, like you don't feel comfortable with that extra weight on your body. Right.
Totally. Do you have a particular nutritional strategy these days? And does it change depending on the time of year, for example, off season versus leading up to competition?
I try to stay as clean as I can. Like, I'm following a diet. It's more geared toward healthy eating because you don't have, you have less inflammation. That way you have more, your recovery is a lot better. I don't believe in eat whatever junk food that you can, because like you feel like shit the next day.
Yeah.
Your joints are really in pain. Like, just all those things for recovery, right? Because like, you, if you want a longevity in this sport, you actually need to watch everything you do. Like, if you spend $1,000 in recovery and you eat like shit, well, it's not really helping you. So I'm really keen on like 80%, 20% diet type of thing, 80% clean. And then if you want to cheat, like, you cheat whatever. But getting closer to a show, obviously I'll eat more like greasier food, and I'll go out to eat a lot more just to get that dense calories, because it's just getting harder to add the calories in and calories out, right?
What is your favorite, if you're like, hey, I just need some calories, it's been a tough training week, it's going to be a little bit of a cheat, maybe a little bit of a cheat meal, something that's just dense, greasy. What are some of your like go-to, I just need to get calories in meals?
Pizza and cheesecake for sure.
Pizza and cheesecake. That's that's an easy one. You know, sometimes people say like, oh, it's a regional specialty. Being Canadian, I was wondering if you're going the poutine route, but no, you're going the classics, pizza, cheesecake, easy enough. Okay. Favorite pizza toppings.
Meat.
You're not a pineapple on pizza guy. You're not a Hawaiian guy.
No, I'll go for it if it's there, but I won't pick it for sure.
Okay. Meat lovers all the way. Got it. Let's talk about the kind of chronology of your strongman career. Was there a particular point? You said you've been training in strongman in a pretty dedicated fashion since 2012. So about 11 years. Was there a point at which you really thought, and for some people, it's like the first competition they do, they're like, wow, I could be fantastic at this. For some people, it's not until they, you know, podium at World's Strongest Man or the Arnold. But what was the moment where you're like, wait, I can be one of the best in the world at this?
Well, I wasn't there when we started. Like, when I started my first show, my first pro show in Canada, like in Ontario, I was beating guys that has been doing this for like 6-7 years. I'm like, okay, I can be somebody from there right off the bat. But it just took me a while to get to the next level, right? Just because like in Canada, like JF was always there. And there's only just one Canadian athlete to go compete. So it was kind of hard for me to transition to the world scene. So I did my first Giants Live back in 2016, went to Sweden. And I was just playing like in a top four in Canada's Strongest Man and stuff like that.
But when there's JF Corone is kind of standing there as the top athlete for nearly a decade in Canada, it feels like there's probably a wall. Like, literally, he is a wall. He can actually look like a wall.
No, 100%. That was the issue, right? And then Canada wasn't that great of a country for strongman. So, like, that's why they weren't inviting as much people. And now with OSG and all those things are actually coming out. I think I got really, like, a lot stronger when I first started dating Sam. Mm. The dynamic that we both have, we're both the same personality. We're both saying we'll just push each other. Like, we got a lot stronger when we started training together, when she moved with me as well. And then Santa Monica happened. And then it was supposed to be a Brian Shaw and Martin Lisa's show. And I won the first four events. That basically changed who I was. Like, my Instagram followers, like Friday night, I had 1,500 people. And then Saturday night, I was at 15,000 people. Overnight, right? Just because of that show. And then I got to World's Strongest Man that year. My goal was just to make the worlds, right? At the beginning, I was really frustrated during my strongman career, right? Because I was upset that a lot of people that were going to worlds, I usually beat in Canada, like when they come, like Dimitar and all those guys, right? Like, I compete against Jason Berman and all those guys as well. I've been doing this for a while. But then I start realizing as I grow into the sport, I'm like, well, the longer it takes for me to get to worlds, I won't just go to worlds. I'll go to make the finals, right? So it just changed my mindset. And like, it's nice, like, if you go to worlds once and then you get forgotten because you finish fifth in your heat and you don't get reinvited, right? So I was up in the stone off against Tom, my first World Strongest Man. I'm like, well, I'll go balls to the walls. And if I make a mistake, I make a mistake, because he won't. And I just missed the fifth zone. And if I was with any other heat, I would have made the finals.
Right.
So then the next year, my goal was to make the finals. So I trained all year, made the finals. And after day one, I was in third place. And then I finished on the podium, finished third place at World Strongest Man. It took me a year for it to sink in because, you know, when you visualize for something, my visualization was just to go to the finals, maybe get not finished bottom, like maybe seventh or sixth. I was grateful. But making the podium, that really changed how I trained, gave me belief in myself that like I can beat them. I can become World Strongest Man. So it just made everything else change. Like I actually started focusing more on nutrition, focusing more on all those little things, because this is not just a hobby. It's something that I can become really good at it, right? And I believe in myself that I can become World Strongest Man. So like those are all priorities I need to focus on. And that's why we moved to Moncton. So we're actually able to open to the public and we can just become full-time athletes instead of like we used to run just a private studio where just so our paychecks were just one-on-ones. So we were working 8 to 10 hours of PT and then trying to train ourselves at 8 o'clock at night. So just doing this transition to make us better athletes and just less stressful, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, the number of, if you can remove the external factors that distract from training and recovery, because if you're an athlete at your level, recovery, I mean, you can only train for so many hours a day. Say you're training for 2 to 3 hours a day. The rest of the time that you're spending awake, sleeping, it's all focused on recovery. Even the time you're sleeping, it's how do you optimize your sleep for recovery, right?
Yeah.
How do you remove all these other stressors so that you're not spiking your cortisol? Because if you have to worry about clients, if you have to worry about your taxes, if you have to worry about all this stuff, that distracts from your training and reduces the amount of energy you can spend into becoming the best. So it seems like the past year has been about you and Sam taking it from, oh, you know, we're this percentage dedicated to how can we just remove all those external factors and get to 100% being strongman athletes. Is that a correct assumption?
100%. And then last year we had a lot of our on our plates. Like we got given kind of short. So we're taking care of Strongman Corp Canada. So we're taking care of all the amateur circuit. We're dealing with all of that as well. So that was another big factor. So we just hosted nationals last year, a week before Rogue.
A week before the Rogue Invitational.
Yeah.
Wow, that timing is very tight.
It hit me hard at Rogue. I was exhausted. I was having a hard time. Like, I didn't want to show it, but, like, the first event right in the warm-up, I tweaked my back. So I was I would dealt with that the whole comp, but I didn't say anything. I just pushed through it. And then after that, we were so exhausted that Sam pulled out OSG. We did Magnus Classic just to do it. So I stopped training completely right after Rogue to Magnus. So we didn't train for a full month. We just went to Iceland just to have a vacation, enjoy. And then we just need to recover. So then after that, we realized that we need to prioritize on our time, right? So then we can just, so if we just need to focus on Strongman Corp online stuff and not focus on personal training, we're right ahead, right?
Yeah.
And then just like we're taking care of like Evolution Strength Athletic for like Brian Shaw's knee sleeve, elbow sleeve in Canada as well. So we're just trying to find other revenues just to make sure that like we can actually focus on ourselves and be less stressful about everything else, right?
You've talked about how starting to date Sam, moving in together, training together were big points in leveling up your game, and I'm sure Sam's as well.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like it's a very difficult thing, and it's not for everyone to be in the same industry, to be very competitive with and to train with your romantic partner, your life partner. Mm-hmm. Like that's tough for a lot of, it's tough for me to imagine personally, but that's just the way I am. I'm curious as to how you all have adapted to that. It's clearly paid off dividends, right? It's up both of your games. What tips, this is not a therapy session, but I'm just curious, like, how do you all deal with that? What are some challenges that arise? You're both very competitive. You know, how do you avoid that boiling over and becoming too competitive with each other?
We're really competitive with each other. That's 100%. Like during COVID started, we decided to do a list of different sports and board games or whatever to see who is better. Okay, so that's who we are. So that's not an issue. When we train right at the beginning, when we're training, we've set our base that like we're not girlfriend and boyfriend in the gym. We're here as training partners. We're here to push each other. If we have something to say, we'll say it. Sometimes we get affected by things, but like we just brush it off after when we walk out of the gym, right? It's nice. We're always together. Like she's at personal training as well. We're always working together for all our businesses. All our sponsorships are all together as well. But it's just funny when she went to Italy for the world record, for the record breakers. And when I go outside to compete, like when we're actually separated, it's like, wow, this is weird. But yeah, no, it's great.
What are some of the things that you, because I know that in setting up for this podcast and as we were talking about scheduling it, it's not just that you all are training partners. You all are very focused on recovery. Sharing recovery techniques together. Again, that's sleep, that's nutrition. I'd love to talk about what you prioritize on recovery to make sure you're at your best. We've already talked a little bit about nutrition. Is there anything from in the realm of sleep schedule? Are you doing hot-cold contrast? Like, what are some of these other factors that you all prioritize together?
For the past three or four years, for every Christmas, our gifts are recovery tools. We bought the air compression pants, hips, and shoulders for 1 year. We have just a set of the cupping with the heat therapy. We just ordered two ice baths from a cold tub plunge, just the little ones, because I want to upgrade it to bigger ones, because we want to do a hot cold tub therapy at our gym that we're getting right now. So that's the next step. So we're just going to start with the cheaper ones, just so we save up for the big expensive ones. But no, everything is based around those little things to get to the next level where we're at. Because like everyone's strong right now. Just who comes in the event as healthy as they can be is going to win, right?
Yeah. Everyone's I was talking to Dr. Kelly Starrett on a podcast recently, and he said, everyone's working hard. People aren't, it's not about outworking each other. It's about showing up fresher and better recovered and better optimized. Because to get to your level, everyone is really dedicated. It's not like anyone wakes up as like, oh, I'm not going to focus today, or I'm just going to like phone this one in. Your competitors are all super hard workers, just like you are. So I appreciate that perspective. Let's talk a little bit about another recovery tool that I know you all are really focused on, and that's Airwave. Using that for breath optimization and recovery actually during training sessions, and ideally to kickstart recovery during your session and right after. How did you all first get connected with Airwave, and how do you utilize in strongman training the Airwave mouthpiece?
I've been having a lot of hard time with mouthpieces, especially for the fat. I'm always trying to get bigger. Having something in my mouth, like the gag reflex is right there. I try really hard with other companies to use one because I know the benefits of them and all that stuff, but I could never keep it. Like as soon as I put it in, walked to the bar, I was spitting it out because it was too big, not comfortable for me at all. And then Airwave messaged me, hey, Max, you want to try Airwave? It's a mouthpiece. I'm like, okay, I'll try it out for sure because I'll never say no. And I'll only sell what I believe in, because if you start selling stuff that you don't believe into it, like your name and everything else, your word doesn't mean anything, right?
Right.
So I'm sure I'll try it out. So I got into the mail. It says to wait 24 hours after you mold it in. I'm like, oh, I'm deadlifting tonight. I'm gonna go try it out right away. Put it in my mouth. I have no issues breathing with it right away because it's a lot smaller and it's a perfect fit. Like you actually need to pull it out with your thumb. You can't spit it out because it's too tight. We deadlifted the same weight that we did the week before, with more ease than we had the week before, just by putting it on. Like as soon as you bite in, you're actually able to breathe better. You're a lot more stable because it balanced because your body's off, right? So as soon as you had the mouthpiece, you're actually able to relax, and all your body is, you're more balanced in everything aspect, right? So you're actually able to clinch. So right off the bat, it made a big game changer, even for log press, because log press, I have a hard time with the mouthpiece because there's a weight stuff, like my chest. So I'll do one rep with it. I bring it down and I can't breathe, so I take it off to do another set. My next rep is worse because I don't have it. So I actually feel it right away just because I'm having a hard time getting used to it still. So right now it's really nice. I'm actually able to bench press with it now, because when you're benching with a mouthpiece, it's really hard because you can't breathe. So I'm actually able to do it now. So it's the perfect timing of being injured to train with the mouthpiece right now. And I'm able to use it throughout my whole workout now. And you see a difference when my gag reflex is kicking up and I take it off for my next set, I'm a lot weaker, not stable as much as having it on. And it's true. Like I'm not biased at all. Like it's a game changer right away. And then Sam actually did a test at the Arnold's with the doctor that actually did those mouthpiece. And there's a post on her Instagram about what happens. And he goes through the whole test of like rotation and mobility gets improved. The breathing gets improved, and just the strength and everything else improved just by having a mouthpiece in your mouth and having something that actually can wear throughout like condition running and strength training. it's just beneficial for everything because we're actually able to breathe. So like the recovery, the acid lactate is less increased because of those reasons, right?
Well, it seems like with any tool, it's just like if you're lifting with knee sleeves for the first time or wrist wraps or any other or a belt, there's a learning curve. Right.
Yeah.
Like people, you know, I've heard newer lifters, they get frustrated. They're like, oh, I tried a lifting belt and it didn't make me stronger or it felt weird. Like, of course it does, because you've never worn one before. You have to learn how to use it as a tool.
Yeah, and
the rest of your positions have to adapt. It seems like it's the same principle here.
Yeah. But it was a lot easier to adapt to that one compared to any other one that we tried, right?
Is it something that you all are going to wear in competition, or are you using it as just an in training tool?
However I train is how I compete. I don't believe in people. It's like for example, the beltless one. Oh, I did beltless. Like, why would you train beltless if you can compete with a belt?
Right.
Right. It cracks me up. Like, you'll just throw your game off. Or like if I do stones tack, I understand without tacky, because like you're training your grip, but use tacky so when you go to the comp, you're used to that tacky you're going to be using, right? So that's my mentality. Whatever I train is how I compete. It's really important. As stupid as it sounds, it's something that everyone should be doing, because you don't want to throw something different when you compete, especially for food. Like for food, like you want to try to eat what you eat during your training when you go compete. Like you don't want to overload or whatever, do something like Friday night to overload your stomach that you're not used to just for more dense food, right?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Control the factors and then replicate those factors, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a ton of sense. In college, I remember a college psychology course. It's like, hey, however you study for a test, like replicate the test conditions so that you'll remember the same thing. It's the same for the body. And there is also the mental component, right? Because not only do you want the factors that affect you physically to be the same, you want to try and control the mental factors as much as possible. Because there's so much in competition that you can't control, especially due to travel, scheduling. I mean, look, you're a World Strongest Man podium finisher. You know better than most that competition schedule, it can be really tough. It's a lot of sitting and waiting around and then go, go, go. And then you might have to sit and wait around for hours.
It's the worst comp of the year for sure. We all do it for the title because it's a TV show for sure. It's long days.
Long days and a lot of them. I mean, you're basically, what is it normally? It's 5 days, 6 days with like one rest day in the middle before finals?
Yeah.
Jeez. Is that the competition you're most beat up after?
No, I'm more relaxed after that one.
Oh, I mean, like your body, like, does that take the, which competition in a normal calendar year takes the heaviest physical toll on you?
The Shaw Classic.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
8 events in 2 days with the heaviest show. Yeah, it's the hard one.
Is that the one that you wake up the next morning and you're like, wow, I feel this?
Oh, by event 6 and 7, we're all limping and just being warriors in the back, just trying to finish it off for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Brian wants it no other way. That's exactly why he designed the show like that, I'm sure.
Nah, it's the best show. It's one of the best shows of the year for sure, if it's not the best, yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that perspective. Well, Max, where's the best place for people to follow along with you, your recovery as you lead back up to, you know, hopefully being back to full speed in July?
Just on our Instagram. We're going to do a lot more YouTube video content soon enough. Instead of just having boring clips of me trying to walk around in crutches in the gym, we're going to get back to that. But right now we're actually focusing on trying to open our gym, and then we'll just post as much as we can on those Instagram and YouTube channels for sure.
Awesome. Max, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks to Airway for connecting us. Really excited to see your recovery, see you back to full speed with healthier hip flexors than ever.
For sure. Well, thanks a lot.